It's good to see you here in this place on this day. This is the L. Nelson Bell class, and we're still looking at the book of 2 Samuel. We have been looking at the life of David in the course of his career, and we continue to find things that are there for guidance in our lives as we look to both Old and New Testament. And today, we're going to be talking about learning when to quit. I'll need to give that a little explanation. But before we do that, I'm going to ask the Lord to guide us as we turn to His Word. Let us pray. Father, we live this life by faith and by Your grace. We are ever dependent upon You for every breath we take, for every thought we think, the way in which we treat others, and the way we think about ourselves. And we thank You that we have Your Word to guide and direct us so that we have a sure and true path we can follow. And whether it be easy or hard, we know it is the right path because Your Word tells us so. Guide us now by the power of Your Holy Spirit to understand this Your Word and apply it into our lives to change the way we live and the way we love. For it is in Christ's name we pray. Amen. We've got two passages that are pivotal for what we're doing today. The first is in 2 Samuel chapter 2, verses 24 through 28. 2 Samuel chapter 2, verses 24 through 28. But Joab and Abishai pursued Abner. And as the sun was going down, they came to the hill of Ammah, which lies before Gia on the way to the wilderness of Gibeon. And the people of Benjamin gathered themselves together behind Abner and became one group and took their stand on the top of a hill. Then Abner called to Joab, "Shall the sword devour forever? Do you not know that the end will be bitter? How long will it be before you tell your people to turn from the pursuit of their brothers?" And Joab said, "As God lives, if you had not spoken, surely the men would not have given up the pursuit of their brothers until the morning." So Joab blew the trumpet, and all the men stopped and pursued Israel no more, nor did they fight anymore. And then to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. Jesus is visiting in the house of Lazarus, Mary, and Martha. Now, as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed Him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to His teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went up to Him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken from her." This is the Word of God. Now, hopefully when I announce the title of this, it may have taken you back a little bit, because the last several lessons we've been looking at in Samuel have been all about persevering, how David would encounter the same problem over and over in his life, and yet he did not stop in doing the right thing. Opportunities to kill Saul, and yet he would not lift up his hand against the Lord's anointed. And then there were those times where a new problem arose. After Saul had been killed in battle, David naturally would have assumed the nation was coming to him. And lo and behold, there is yet a battle to be fought, several battles to be fought, because there is a civil war in Israel about the leadership. And today we get into that civil war, and we realize that there actually is a time to stop. There is a time to persevere, and there's a time to stop. And that could take me into Ecclesiastes, but I'm not going to go there. I love that. But now we see Abner and Joab as two generals involved in the civil war in Israel. Abner is leading the forces of Saul's household. Joab is leading the forces of David. They have already encountered one another in battle, a strange battle situation where they each chose warriors from each army, and they came up in hand-to-hand combat, and they killed each other. These are the young men that came up, and in hand-to-hand combat, all of them died. And then general war broke out, a battle that day, and the forces of Joab were prevailing over the forces of Abner, David's general over those of Saul's family. And it's become very personal. Abishai was the brother of Joab. He was very fleet-footed. He was chasing after Abner and apparently was gaining on him. And Abner told him, don't keep chasing me. Chase somebody else. Do something to somebody else. Take their armor. Kill them, but quit chasing me. Abishai would not do that. And it's not Abishai, it's Asahel. Old Testament names. Asahel, and he was coming up behind Abner, and Abner takes his spear and thrusts it behind him after he's warned this young warrior twice not to come after him, and he kills him with the butt of his spear going through him. Now, children love this, I'm sure. But that only made this much more personal in terms of Abner and Joab. And Joab is pursuing with his men, and Abner is retreating. He is able to rally his troops around. They end up on top of this hill. It's a fortified position. And Abner calls out to Joab, isn't it time to call off this battle? It's a civil war. We do not want any more brothers killing brothers, friends killing the sons of friends. Isn't it time to stop? And Joab says, you're right. It is time for us to stop. And he calls his men off. And we're going to find out in subsequent lessons that there are continuing difficulties between these two groups, but it will get resolved. But what we're looking at today is an actual command to stop what you are doing. In the Christian life, too often you and I try to force something to happen. It starts out with good intentions. We believe that the Lord has led us to do this thing, and it's beginning to be more and more difficult. Things are not working out the way we expected them to, and we just grit our teeth and say, I know this is what's got to be done. I'm going to make it happen. I'm going to make that person change. I'm going to make this happen in this situation, and it just gets more and more difficult. We become so intently focused on making it happen that we're not really perceptive as to whether or not we should still be pursuing that particular line of life. And we become so focused on doing the right thing that we forget to listen to the Lord. Now, there's a wonderful example of this in a very positive way in Acts chapter 16. When Paul is on his missionary journey, and he's eager to get the gospel into Asia Minor, and he tries to go into one place, and the Spirit of God says, no, not here. He tries to go to another place, a good thing, to spread the gospel. The Spirit of God says, no, not here. Finally, you can almost perceive between the lines, Paul is getting so frustrated. I've got this great message. I've got to take it to somebody, but you won't let me, Lord. What's going on? And then the vision comes to the man from Macedonia and says, come over to us. We need to hear what you have to say. He was listening, and he was willing to stop trying to force his way into other areas with the gospel and go to the spot that God was directing him to. Now, more to the point, we come to Mary and Martha. You all know that story. We've heard it from our childhood on up. But what an amazing example of knowing when to stop the situation. Jesus is there in this house. He's been invited in by Martha. And while they're waiting for the meal to be prepared, he is teaching those that are gathered in the house. We don't know how many. We don't know if it's a large crowd, if it was all the disciples or a few. We just don't know. But he was having a time of teaching. And Martha's sister Mary was sitting there and just soaking it up. You get the impression in reading that passage that she is so enthralled at what Jesus is doing that she doesn't even realize that she's neglecting any kind of household duty or being a good hostess. Until Martha comes up somewhat indignant and doesn't even reproach her sister. She goes straight to Jesus. She said, Jesus, we don't know this, but probably I let you into this house. You're here, my guest. We're delighted to have you, but my sister's not helping me serve, and I'm having to do all the work. Tell her to help me do this. That's her command. Tell her to do this. Well, that's always had a very mixed response from Jesus when somebody said, tell my brother to give me the inheritance. Tell my sister to do this. It kind of boomerangs on him. And Jesus turns, and you get that sense of compassion. Martha, Martha. There are many, many things to choose in life. And right now, Mary has chosen the best. And it's implied, forget about the serving. Forget about setting things up. We can have cold cuts. Come and listen to what I have to say. Martha needed to stop what was a good thing she was doing because God wanted her to hear what Jesus had to say. And it was going to change her life. We see these sisters and their brother own in other vignettes throughout the Gospels, the incredible raising of Lazarus from the dead. But this is all, at this point, Martha has to learn, just as Joab learned, there's a time to stop. You're doing the right thing. You've had some pretty good success. Stop. Listen, the Lord has something else for you to understand. The question is, what are we trying to do in our lives right now that's getting a little confusing? We started out pretty well convinced it was the right thing to do, the right decision to make, the right path to take, and now we're meeting resistance. We're wondering what's going on, what's happening. This doesn't seem to be working out quite like I expected it to. It was right at the beginning, but I don't know. Something just doesn't seem right now. It may be time to step back and to disengage, to check back in with God, to back off of our intense, focused, I'm going to get this done. There are times where that's appropriate. And to continue on, just having difficulty doesn't mean you're supposed to stop. But there are also times where we do need to pause and say, do you really want me to continue this, Lord? Or is there something else that I need to be doing? When we try to force it, we may not be able to hear the voice of God who is speaking to us saying, no, not that way, this way. Let's leave that off. I've got something else I want you to do. The gift and the power of discernment are so incredibly important in the Christian life. It is a gift. And it is a powerful gift to be able to discern, am I following the right path? Am I doing the right thing? Or do I need to change what I'm doing? Now, all along, I've just had this in the back of my head, and I know you've got it right, but I just want to make sure you understand, if you're doing something wrong, if you're doing something that you know Scripture says you shouldn't be doing, the answer is simple. Stop. Don't do it anymore. But when you're convinced that you're doing what God has called you to do, you're trying to do the right thing, you're just laser focused in on it, but there are difficulties, there are costs, it can be painful, it may well be time to step back and reevaluate what's going on. and to discern, Lord, is this what you would have me do? Again, a passage from the book of Hebrews, just one verse, chapter 5, verse 14. But solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. The power to discern. Some things are easy. Oh, that's wrong. This is right. But we find the longer we live our Christian lives, the more there are those moments where, Lord, I just don't know. Come apart. Go back to His Word. As we said in the past, looking at David, consult Christian friends for guidance. But recheck what's happening with your Lord. And see if He doesn't want you to maybe take a different course. Not that this was all wrong, but at this point in your life, it's time to stop serving and time to come sit at the feet of the Lord and learn from Him in the life of Mary. Times to step back and say, Lord, is this right? What do you want me to do? Now, there is a very difficult prayer. You have to be careful when you pray that. Lord, what do you want me to do? And be willing to accept whatever His answer might be in that. Do you want me to persevere? Or do you want me to stop? I'm yours. I want to honor you. What is it that you want me to do? And I don't know about you, but I know in my life, I find it's very hard to say, okay, that's it, no more. There's something about our pride. It may be something about the way we're raised in our own culture. But it just seems like, no, that's not what I'm supposed to do. I've got to keep on doing this. But Scripture is replete with examples where, yes, you do need to stop doing that. And you need to start doing something else. To pray for wisdom and discernment. To have the courage to stop what you're doing and to change and to go in another direction. Mary has chosen the better part. Grant that each of us will be able to discern what the Lord wants us to do and will not get so caught up in doing what we know is right that we miss the mark of what He's really calling us to do. And He will guide us. He's with us. His Spirit is inside of us. But it's a matter of discerning which way, how long, how much. And He will guide us. There are lots of hymns about guidance. And this is one that is a dear one. That is not quite as popular maybe as some others in the past. But it's a hymn entitled, Lead Kindly Light. It was written in 1833. Lead kindly light amid the encircling gloom. Lead thou me on. The night is dark and I am far from home. Lead thou me on, keep thou my feet. I do not ask to see the distant scene. One step, enough for me. I was not ever thus, nor prayed that thou shouldst lead me on. I loved to choose and see my path, but now lead thou me on. I loved the garish day, in spite of fears, pride ruled my will. Remember not past years. So long thy power hath blessed me, sure it still will lead me on. O'er moor and fen, o'er crag and torrent, till the night is gone, and with the morn those angel faces smile, which I have loved long since. and lost a while. Lord, what do you want me to do? I'm yours. Sometimes we need to stop. Let's pray. Father, life is so ever-changing. The days and the years go by, and we find that we're not the same person we were years before, days before. The challenges are different. The questions are different. The abilities are different. Oh, Lord, lead us to do what is right and protect us from ever becoming so focused that we block out your voice from within saying, this is the way to go, not that. You know we love you. You know we want to do the right thing. So, Lord God, help us to know when to persevere and help us to know when to stop. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.